We're back now with more of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. You don't need us to tell you that it has been a cool, damp spring. But what you might not know is that with the right kind of garden in your yard, the weather we've been having can play a role in helping to improve water quality.
Author, garden expert, and Lake Effect contributor Melinda Myers is with us in the studio to explain. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's always great to be here, Mitch.
So let's start with maybe a pretty obvious point. This has not been the easiest spring to get out in the garden.
You bet. Besides the cooler temperatures and a few warm days in between, we haven't seen a lot of sunshine. And so waiting for the soil to dry and warm is really critical to start a successful growing season.
Well, and I guess the question I have, and maybe you don't have meteorological data in front of you, but you know, it's maybe not all that unusual to have a cool spring. I mean, it seems like I feel like Memorial Day is the day that we really look at as the milepost for when growing really starts here anyway.
I think we're all anxious. I think the winter started later and it was pretty severe. And so I think that had us all anxious for spring. I think all the gray, wet days slowed things down. Honestly, I was telling somebody I just finished cleaning out the winter interest a week ago because I couldn't get in the garden.
Yep.
Any day I had off, it poured down rain. And so I finally cleaned things up. The bulbs are looking great. Things are starting to peek through and everybody's going, but it's not leafing out yet. It is early, you know. So that is one of the downsides. And gardeners, every year we face this. It has been cooler than normal. But the good news is because it's been cooler, if we have a late season frost, you're less likely to lose things because you haven't put them out too early because we had a couple of warm, sunny days.
Well, and the law of averages says it will get warmer.
Yes, exactly. It may be a while, but yes, it will get warmer.
So it seems like maybe a really appropriate subject for us to get into is the idea of rain gardens, partly because we're having this conversation. It is raining outside, and this seems like a perfect season to have a rain garden in place because it'll get a lot of use. Let's start with a basic question. What do we mean when we're talking about a rain garden?
I'm glad you asked because we as Midwesterners have really been leaders in this area, believe it or not. When I would speak on the East or West Coast and mention rain barrels and rain gardens and keeping water where it falls, I'd get this blank stare, you know. And I said, oh, we're trendsetters here in the Midwest. But not all of us have been involved with it. So this is a great place to start. So the idea of a rain garden is to capture water coming off your roof, your drive, your patio, your lawn, and capturing it before it goes into the storm sewer. And that way, by capturing the water there, you're keeping it where it falls. The plant roots and soil filter it before it goes down and recharges our groundwater. So it's removing dust particles, pesticides, and all those things we don't want in our waterways. It prevents overloading our storm sewers, which means less backup, less flooding, that type of thing. So you're helping your own landscape, and you're taking care of plants that can take it wet and dry. So this isn't a water garden. If you've got standing water for more than 48 hours, you have a water garden, not a rain garden. So positioning is important in the type of plants and soil prep, just like in any garden.
Okay, so then let's talk about positioning and what we need to do to keep our rain garden from just being a water garden.
So we want it on a slight slope away from the home. The last thing we need is more water by our foundation, at least 10 feet away from the foundation of your house, and then directing the water from your downspout into your rain garden. So some people will run an underground line. Some will just create a little swale and maybe some stones to direct the water to the rain garden. And some just allow it to naturally, by gravity, fill up that rain garden. So location, at least 10 feet away from your foundation of your house. The other thing you want to do is prepare the soil. Most of us in southeastern Wisconsin have heavy clay soil. And as you know, it drains very slowly. And this year's a good indication of how
yes,
slow it's
exactly.
draining. So we want to add organic matter to help improve drainage. And then if you have sandy, rocky soil, so if you're in the Kettle Moraine area, you may have more sand and rock. That's what I have now. And so adding organic matter holds the moisture. So when we have those hot, dry spells, we're not out there watering our rain garden. And then we're going to create a bit of an indentation so the water doesn't flow over and down to the storm
right.
sewer, but is rather captured in that rain garden.
Well, and so talk about appropriate kinds of things that grow and appreciate a rain garden.
You know, and that's one of the nice parts. Sometimes people have visions of, oh, it's going to be ugly. It isn't. Natives obviously are a good place to start because they support our birds and pollinators. And many of the native plants are subject to flooding and drought when you look at our natural conditions. So looking at things that are going to provide seasonal interest, so it's beautiful for you, supports the pollinators, plants that tolerate wet and dry soils, and then arranging them, one, based on how much moisture they can tolerate, because in the lowest part of your rain garden is going to stay wettest longer, on the edges is going to dry out quickly, and then arranging them so they're attractive to you. I think some of the initial rain gardens, maybe we were just so focused on the beauty of the natural plants that not everybody appreciated it the way some of us did. So here are some plants. For shady areas or partly sunny areas, columbine, which is an early season bloomer. Our native columbine is wonderful. Hummingbirds and butterflies love it, so we can help support the pollinators early. Also for shade to sun are the hyssops, lavender hyssop, which has kind of a spiky flower, some attractive foliage, blooms for a couple of months, so that's another nice option to use. As we move into some of the later in the season, things like swamp milkweed, great for the monarchs because the caterpillars need the milkweed to feed on the leaves, and the flowers attract many different butterflies and even hummingbirds. And swamp milkweed is native to marshy wet areas, but will also take it dry. It grows about 4 feet tall and is a little less aggressive than common milkweed, which is great for the monarchs, but sometimes people get frustrated keeping it contained.
You talk about the dry periods. Are there things that when you have a rain garden you need to do if in the event of a long dry spell?
I'm glad you brought that up, because a couple years ago we did have a pretty hot, dry spell. And any new gardens, you're going to need to water, because those plants will tolerate flooding and drought once established, but that first year they really need that extra TLC. So getting them started this year may not be a problem, but depending on the rain, you know, we get a lot of rain and then it stops. So making sure those root systems are kept thoroughly moistened, so water thoroughly to encourage good deep roots. Check the top couple inches. If it's crumbly and moist, it's time to water again. Mulching the soil surface, using something that's organic so that as it breaks down, it will help improve the soil. Sometimes twice shredded bark. The benefit of that is it knits together and doesn't wash away. I use a lot of shredded leaves, but you kind of have to watch how the water comes in, so you may need to use a combination of things. I'm big about using resources right on your property. So most of us have leaves, either ours or our neighbors, blowing in the yard. Evergreen needles also. But watch the flow of water and adjust just like you do with any garden. So proper watering, especially the first year, especially during extended droughts. And then even the second year, keep an eye on how well they're doing. If you're using many of our natives, the reason they do so well is they know how to propagate and spread. So every few years, you're going to need to dig and divide. You could start another rain garden with all your plants. Share them with your friends as long as you don't have jumping worms. And that's an invasive worm. Uh-huh. And we don't want to share those. And that's a great way to make your investment go even further.
Is there any other kind of maintenance that's specific to rain gardens versus any other kinds of plantings?
The main thing is making sure soil prep is even more critical than with any garden. It's critical for any garden, but more so with rain gardens. This is hopefully a permanent planting like other perennial gardens, so you want to do it right initially. Mulching is a regular process, as you know, as a gardener. You know, in your regular gardens, if you use organic mulches, they do break down, but the nice part is they're improving the soil. You want to make sure when you're digging your rain garden and you've got one side bermed so the water doesn't wash over the top, just making sure that berm, that raised area on the downward side of your raised garden, is intact. Now, if you're running your downspout underneath the ground, you will have that mound all the way around so that you're really managing the water that goes in and slowing the flow so it doesn't end up in the storm sewer.
Are there pest concerns that are specific to rain gardens, things that like to breed in water?
Good question. So that's the key about, you don't want standing water for 48 hours, so you shouldn't have mosquito issues. So good question, because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, the last thing I want is standing water. If you are getting standing water, then it's time to look at, is your rain garden big enough to handle the water? Maybe you need a second one. If you have areas where you have temporary flooding, and this wouldn't be so much in your rain garden, but one cool thing that I discovered is those mosquito dunks that are Bacillus thuringiensis. It's a bacteria, naturally occurring soil bacteria that only kills the larvae of mosquitoes, black flies, and fungus gnats. But if you put one of those on a stake, if you have areas that are subject to maybe spring floods, put one on a stake. If it's standing water, that releases that bacteria that kills the mosquito larvae. But in a rain garden, that shouldn't be an issue. The other thing, if you are getting overflows, maybe it's time to install a rain barrel, and then the overflow goes to your rain garden so that you're managing the water a little bit better. If you're like, I'm not redigging this rain garden, it isn't big enough, I don't have a space for a second one, then looking at another step. And then amending your lawn soil as well. You know, core aerating, top dressing with compost. I know that's a lot of work, but adding that organic matter will help improve drainage, and it makes your lawn more of a sponge. So your lawn will be healthier, it will drain better, and that might be another way if you haven't planned correctly. The good thing is Fresh Coast Guardians has some really good step-by-step information on how big your rain garden needs to be, you know, details on amending the soil and how deep you need to dig it so that you get and manage the water where it falls and don't create a problem, but rather a solution to keeping water where it falls.
We will link people to that advice.
Excellent.
And Melinda Myers, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch. Always a pleasure.
Melinda Myers is the author of numerous books on gardening, including The Midwest Gardener's Handbook and Month-by-Month Gardening in Wisconsin. She's also Lake Effect's gardening contributor, and you can listen back to previous interviews at WUWM.com.